A Radiance in the Gulag by Njola Sadunlete. Chapter 15, The Cause of Truth. The whole time, as much as circumstances allowed, I tried to contribute to the important and sacred work of assisting the wounded, persecuted Church of Lithuania, vilified in every way by the Soviets. That sacred task is being carried out by the Chronicle of the Catholic Church in Lithuania, reporting to everyone the injuries being inflicted on the Church and urging all to remain faithful to truth and love. So I reproduced as much as I was able the Chronicle of the Catholic Church in Lithuania and other underground religious literature. 12 years ago, during my interrogation, I promised KGB Major Vliutas Bielis that if God let me come back from the Gulag, I would again reproduce the Chronicle with the help of God. I have been carrying out that promise. I rejoice and thank Almighty God that the issues of the Chronicle have become more and more substantial and are approaching the 100 in number. A few years ago, a very noble individual extended to me the wish that I would be able to print issue 100. The wishes of holy people are fulfilled because their will coincides with the will of God, which consists in everyone's true happiness. In the course of my work, I had occasion to meet people who were clearly in the spotlight of the KGB under constant surveillance. There have been many exciting moments in those years, and throughout it all, my ignorance was made up for by our good Father's hand. Everything always turned out well. Here are a few fragments of my life as a fugitive. One time I visited some acquaintances whom I had visited more than once to drop off underground literature, and whom I knew were being particularly watched by the KGB. Listening devices had been installed in their apartment and telephone. Their home was often being searched. The KGB was interrogating them and threatening to take care of them. Their neighbors, KGB informers, kept an eye on everyone entering and leaving their apartment. In a word, the whole system of terror. When I went to see them, I would hardly speak. Everything I wanted to tell them I would write down, so that the ears of the KGB would not hear. We used to converse only in writing. The KGB knows that this is the only real way to remain unmonitored by the KGB. Everyone should remember that. It is better to be careful so as not to help the KGB. It is obvious that one should immediately erase what one writes. If one wets that paper and rubs it, the writing fades, and if a drain pipe is available, you flush it. Going to see those acquaintances, I would try to disguise myself, only I always left looking just as I had when I went in. But on this occasion, as I prepared to leave, I spontaneously put on a wig that I had brought with me, which used to change my appearance greatly, and donned a scarf, whereas I had come in wearing a beret. It was late evening, and there was no one about. We took the elevator down. The corridor was in semi-darkness. After I left the elevator, I still had to go down a flight of stairs to the exit. At the foot of the stairs, at the door, I saw standing two men who looked like criminals. One of them was sharpening a long knife on the steps. Well, both of them observed me. I could not run away. Without even pausing, I calmly went right toward them without paying any attention to them, as though I could not even see them. I came to the door. Now they were behind me, off to one side. As luck would have it, the door would not open. In my heart was a calm that in moments like that only the good God can grant. The thought occurred to me, let them stab me. I have completed my work, thank God. After a slight delay, I got the door open and, without turning toward them, went out. Only after leaving did I realize that those men had probably been waiting for me to come out with a beret, as I had been wearing as I came into the apartment. KGB often hires murderers to injure or kill those they are persecuting, but God's ways are not man's ways. Another time, I was going to see some other acquaintances with underground literature. They were under KGB surveillance, but less than those mentioned above. When I arrived in the city where my friends lived, the thought suddenly occurred to me that I would need transportation to visit other people. Transportation was waiting for me, and when I arrived, I went someplace else instead. Later I found out that precisely at that time the militia had been looking for me at my original destination. They had questioned my friends, demanding to know what they knew about me. God helped me by inspiring to go elsewhere. I am grateful to him from the bottom of my heart. More than once, with the help of God, I have been able to slip out from under the noses of the KGB. One time, as I was going to see some friends being persecuted by the KGB, their neighbors, KGB informers, saw me in the hallway, suspected me, and immediately summoned them in the militia. They arrived in the yard by car, but I was able to disguise myself and evade them. On another occasion, the thought occurred to me to leave my apartment immediately. Barely had I gone out when the militia arrived to check the papers of the residents, something they had not done for decades. Still another time, I was going to some other people where I used to spend the night. I saw two militiamen standing in a side street. I often used to meet or see militiamen standing or lounging around, but this time I clearly understood that they were waiting for me. Instead of going to the apartment, I stood aside unobtrusively and watched them. After a moment, it became obvious that they were waiting for me. They questioned the tenants about me, but by that time, I was far away. I thank everyone for their prayers. My poor brothers, the KGB and militia, how much trouble they have with me. Let us pray that in looking for me, they will find and come to love the good Heavenly Father of us all. Meanwhile, my brother's trial was approaching, and I went to Moscow to find my brother an attorney. Unfortunately, everyone there was also terrified of the KGB. I could not find an attorney. I remembered that in Moscow is the grave of a German Catholic ophthalmologist, Friedrich Josef Haas, who for 51 years served the most unfortunate, giving them the undivided love of his warm heart. Sergei Zolotkov, a Russian clergyman of fine memory, wrote to me in Siberia about him. I went to the former German cemetery to pray at the grave of F.J. Haas, in spite of the fact that he had gone to his eternal rest in 1853. There were flowers blooming on his grave. Love does not die. Passers-by would frequently stop and pray at his grave. It was to this giant of love that I commended my brother's case. While living on earth, you gave yourself entirely to prisoners, patients, and the exploited. Now, in the glory of the Lord, you are able to do more. Be my brother's champion and defender. I knew that he would not abandon him. Oh, how often in seeking help we forget those who are able and wish to help us most, those living in heaven. I was not disappointed. Sometime later, speaking by telephone with my brother's wife, I learned that the trial was to take place on May 24th, 1987. That is the feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, help of Christians. F.J. Haas obtained for my brother the best defender of all, the Blessed Mother. I rejoiced and was grateful. I thanked Haas for his answer to my request, and went through the park toward the Orthodox church where I was supposed to meet my friends. A man approached me along the path. As he drew near, he slowed down, stopped, and, with some surprise, looked at me from head to foot. I was going brunette, without any disguise. Hardly had I passed him when he turned and began to follow me. I picked up my pace, and so did he. Surely he hasn't recognized me. If only I could have had time to warn my friends not to wait for me, and not to have any unpleasantness, I thought, hurrying toward the church. Thank God the church was full of people with service in progress. I mingled with the crowd and donned a scarf and sweater, which I had with me. I was also able to warn my friends, and I myself stood to one side near the side door, where there were still some low benches, with some elderly ladies sitting on them. The church was full of worshippers. After a while, I noticed two young men looking over everyone in the church with great interest. It was obvious that they were looking for someone. I commended myself to the will of God. Fiat! I am ready. Before me was an icon of Our Lady of Vladimir. The thought occurred to me, if they don't arrest me today, it means that the Blessed Mother wants me to write my recollections. The two men slowly approached, and their eyes fixed intently on every face. In that moment, a little old lady sitting behind me stood up to leave, and I sat down in her place, on a low bench next to some other old ladies. I lowered my head and pulled the scarf over my forehead, playing the role of a little old lady has saved me more than once. In any case, the young men probably did not even pay attention to the little old lady sitting next to the wall, because in an Orthodox church, only the very elderly and the sick sit. There are not many benches, and the places are taken before the services. I did not notice when the service ended, and the people began to disperse. I helped the old lady sitting next to me rise, and accompanying her, I left with the crowd of people by the side door. Once inside the churchyard, I went directly along the wall of the church, bent over, conversing with the little old lady. I brought her to and seated her in a bus. We took a route different from the one by which I had come, and I did not see my tail, the detective. Upon reaching home, I immediately sat down and began to write my recollections, and when I met my friends, who had been in church at the time, they told me that it was the first time they had seen the KGB scrutinizing people so blatantly, and they had feared greatly that I would be recognized.